Hello and welcome to Radio Linguistica, DGT's knowledge sharing radio broadcast, exploring themes and topics that are relevant to our everyday work. So I have the great pleasure of meeting today Luis Planas, who is assistant to the Director General of DG Environment, which is the European Commission's Director General in charge of the environment. Thank you, Luis, for receiving me in your office in the Bredel building and for finding a bit of time to talk to us in DGT.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Caroline. It's really a pleasure to be able to discuss with you the circular economy, and thanks a lot for coming to DG Environment, to our new offices in Bredel. So we left Beaulieu a few months ago, so really, really, really happy to be now closer to Schuman.
Luis, I know that a big package of documents is about to arrive for translation in DGT, and it's on the circular economy, and it's coming mainly from DG Env and from DG Climat. And since you are in charge of these files in DG Environment, it's really very interesting for us to talk to you and to, as an insider, about the circular economy to understand it better, and also about these particular files. And of course, many of us are extremely concerned about the environment, so it's also very valuable to have an overview of what the EU is doing in this aspect of its environmental action. So first, what exactly do we call a circular economy? I understand it as an economy where we don't just consume products and then throw them away, but where we share, reuse and recycle products. The aim being to stop producing 2.5 billion tons of waste every year, as we do now in the EU. Would you say that this is a fair definition of what the circular economy is?
Well, I think Caroline is a great first definition. I mean, the circular economy is really about how do we transform our linear economy of extracting, producing, consuming, and throwing away to a virtuous economy where actually we keep the resources as much time as possible within our economic cycle. I mean, the circular economy, it's about durability, about recycling, about reuse, about how also we upgrade the products during their life cycle. How do we use more recycled resources? Today within the EU, we are only using 12% of recycled materials. And this transition towards a circular economy is really key in order to address our triple planetary crisis, so climate change, biodiversity loss, and pollution. So without a circular economy, we will not be able to reach our climate neutrality goals, for example.
Could you give us concrete examples of what a circular product can be or a circular process?
I mean, a circular product, I mean, and you are seeing more and more in our day-to-day lives how you see, you know, entrepreneurs finding ways to make waste a resource, you know. And Vice President Timmermans, I remember a few months ago in the press room, he was mentioning trash is cash, and then how it's really important to really change the mindset about this. So you see, for example, you know, entrepreneurs making textiles out of orange peels, or you see other entrepreneurs making glasses, eyeglasses from marine litter. So it's really about how do I ensure that something that is waste becomes a resource? How do I also ensure that, for example, at the production, that I don't waste any resources during it, so that any consumption of water, energy is done in a circular way, so that it stays within the production cycle as much as possible. So it's really about how I ensure I maximize the efficiency in the overall consumption of the product or the production method.
And so, what is the EU doing to become a circular economy? I know that in 2020, the European Commission adopted a new circular economy action plan, meaning that there was another one beforehand. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the transition to a circular economy in Europe started already many years ago. In 2015, the Commission adopted its first circular economy action plan. That action plan was mainly focused on waste. So we reviewed all the waste legislation, so the waste framework directive, to really increase all the recycling carton targets all around the EU. This second and new circular economy action plan that was adopted just a few days before for the lockdown started in 2020. This action plan is really a renewed approach to the transition, so a new push to this change of economic model in a European Green Deal context also, so with a renewed ambition, as I was saying. And this action plan is really focused on sustainable products and the co-design of the products. If we don't take into account the design of the product, we will not be able to advance towards circularity. 80% of the sustainability of the product is already set at the design of this product. So this action plan, this new action plan, has three main line of work. First of all, the making sustainable products a norm. The key flagship initiative is the eco-design for sustainable products. Regulation that we worked with DGN and DG Grow in its conception and is currently now in interinstitutional discussions. That would be the first element. The second is the identification of key sectors in order to that are key for this circular economy transition. So we're talking, for example, about electronics and ICT, batteries, packaging, plastics, textiles, construction, or food and water. So really, how can we set a number of very concrete measures in these sectors in order to push them and advance and accompany them into circularity? We'll talk about it a bit later, but on plastics, on packaging, for example, there's really a lot coming up. And then third and very importantly, how do we avoid waste in the first place? So really, all the elements linked to reducing waste exports. We presented a revised waste shipment regulation to, on one side, try to foster an internal market of secondary raw materials. Secondary raw materials are the materials that you get from the recycling. So just how can we generate a real market for those materials within the EU? And also, how do we ensure that we'd stop exporting waste outside the EU? So you might have seen in the past, criticism towards the EU dumping their waste on third countries. So the idea is really to close our waste borders to ensure that we oblige ourselves to generate the recycling capabilities within the EU, and that we only export to those third countries where we know for sure that they have the infrastructure to deal with this waste in a proper way. So this waste shipment is really a very, very important initiative. And then all the elements linked to how we can boost this internal market for secondary raw materials. So in the last commission, we presented the single-use plastics directive. And there we introduce, for example, mandatory recycled content in bottles. So the idea is, how can we, through this kind of proposals, also generate incentives to the generation and the fostering of this secondary raw materials market to incentivize their development. We need to ensure that these recycled materials are attractive also for business to take up, and also that they become cheaper. In their use. I mean, right now, for example, virgin materials are still sometimes cheaper than recycled materials. And of course, in order to foster a real circular economy, this has to change.
Mm-hmm. And all these measures that you mentioned, are they at what stage are they? Are they proposals? Are they being negotiated? Are they about to be adopted? Are they already adopted?
So we have already advanced very much in the implementation of this new Circular Economy Action Plan from 2020. Just to give some examples of the key initiatives that we have presented, we have the regulation for batteries that is right now in INCO decision. And just also I wanted to thank all the colleagues around the house that have been involved in the deployment of this very ambitious and overarching circular economy transformation agenda. So as I was mentioning, we have the waste shipment rules. We're also working on a global agreement on plastics now. We have an upcoming negotiation in Uruguay to set up a globally binding instrument to ensure that we advance with our partners around the world in this circular economy transition. The eco-design for sustainable product regulation, so it's really a key milestone in this circular economy action plan. So this was adopted last March together with the revision of the construction product regulation that DigiGrow has been working on. So it's, as you see, it's a really encompassing agenda that has a lot of horizontal initiatives complemented by sectorial targeted proposals. So it's really, let's say, a real example of the European Green Deal approach. You know, I think the president, when presenting the European Green Deal in December 2019, she said this is not an environmental and climate agenda. This is really a growth agenda for Europe. This is our economic model. And I think the circular economy really reflects and translates this this ambition. The transformation to the circular economy, as I mentioned before, on the eco-design, for example, we worked very closely with DigiGrow, DigiEnergy, and many other services around the house, really short this new way of working also within within the Commission in trying and in pushing for an enhanced consistency between the different proposals and also to ensure that we really are addressing all the relevant key aspects and priorities.
So it's it's really a huge effort going in many, many directions. And and now there will be several initiatives that will be presented as part of the Circular Economy Action Plan and that will be translated by DGT. One initiative is a policy framework for bio-based, biodegradable and compostable plastics. Could you tell us in a few words what are the differences between these different types of plastics and why we need a policy framework for this?
Yes, as you know, we continue working on accelerating the circularity of the plastics sector. You know, it's very important that we tackle all the sustainability challenges that plastic have. I mentioned before the single-use plastic work that that we did in the past and that we are currently also working on. And within this let's say with this plastic area, this policy framework for bio-based, biodegradable and compostable plastics becomes necessary. It's you know, under the umbrella of the term bioplastics, it's often used to describe very different materials and often also does not really, let's say, take a life cycle approach to really determine if it's bring genuine environmental benefits to the economy and the product. So the terms bio-based, biodegradable and compostable can be very misleading for consumers. So the initiative, this communication is, let's say, a first step into identifying the challenges associated with bio-based plastics. So, for example, plastics that are made from biomass and the biodegradable and compostable plastics, providing orientations on for the future development. So it's really how can we provide clarifications on what this means. So I invite you all to look at this in detail and also to provide orientations into, you know, what would be at this stage the Commission position towards them. It's important also in terms of clarity, so as we see investments increasing in the area. So it's very important that that we work together with the sector to, you know, so that they know what could be the most sustainable alternatives and what would be, let's say, the materials that could be potentially favored in the future. Mm-hmm. So yes, This will be kind of the main element. I mean, at this stage, it happens a lot. There's a lot of research ongoing on these materials, but we know very little about, sometimes the characteristics, how it's used, how these materials are disposed. And then also, I mean, just to give you an example on the composting, it is very different to have, industrial composting than to have home composting, mm-hmm. for example. So mm-hmm. it could be very misleading also for the consumer, so that we need to ensure that he has clarity over how to dispose this this product in a proper manner mm-hmm. to be able to reap the benefits of this type of plastic.
Another initiative that will be translated in DGT is the review of the Packaging and Packaging Waste Directive. In a few words, could you tell us what are the main concrete measures that are being proposed?
Yes, so packaging is really a key sector for circularity. You can all imagine, how important it is not only to work on the product itself, but also what covers that product. No? So we have a directive in the EU since 1994 that is now, as you can imagine, a bit outdated, and that we need to review in order to foster, the reuse and the recyclability of packaging. Within the Circular Economy Action Plan, we have announced the ambition to ensure that by 2030, all packaging is either recyclable or reusable. Mm-hmm. So this is a very, very important overall target. So the packaging and packaging waste proposal really looks at addressing all the spectrum of packaging waste to ensure its full circularity. So we are looking, for example, at mandatory targets for the reduction of waste and targets for reuse. Mm-hmm. Also, for example, definition of what is recyclable packaging that we currently don't have. So, for example, establishing design for recycling criteria. Also, elements that we're looking at about where do we put mandatory recycled context for specific plastic packaging categories. And we're also exploring the possibility of having a new wide label system to facilitate consumer sorting of packaging and packaging waste in a more harmonized way to ensure that when we throw away the packages, we do it in a responsible and proper manner. This is very, very important into how the circular economy transition works, in the sense that the sorting plays a key role. So I think as individuals, as citizens, as consumers, we really have a very, very big role to play in this transition towards a circular economy.
I think we're getting towards the end of our interview. I was wondering if you had maybe a message for our DGT members, DGT translators, of how we collaborate together with you to achieve all these aims. As I understand, we need more science and more regulation and obviously more translation.
Well, I think it's, first of all, just to say, very sorry for all the work we are pushing on you guys. But first of all, thank you very much for all the work being delivered in very challenging deadlines. The rhythm is very, very accelerated. We are all working, under big pressure. We have a big challenge in front of us. And so the first message is really to thank the colleagues for everything that is being delivered. It's really a collective exercise. It's a collective responsibility. And at this stage, I'm an optimist. So I would like to say also that I think it's also a collective success. I think that European citizens are seeing how the EU is leading the way to circularity. Citizens, we are all seeing in our day-to-day how the ban on plastic straws, the circularity of the plastic bags. I mean, big number of initiatives that have shown the real transformation effect that our policies have on the economy, on our day-to-day lives, and how needed it is, both to address
the triple planetary crisis, the climate change crisis, the biodiversity crisis, the pollution crisis, but also to address our economic challenges and to ensure that we remain competitive, to support our businesses into finding new opportunities. And I think this is very relevant even more in the current context that we're living, because the circular economy, it's also about saving resources. It is also a key agenda for our strategic autonomy. Now we are discussing the critical raw materials work for next year, and the circular economy will have to play a key role in this agenda. Resources are very limited, and we really need to ensure that we use them in the most efficient way.
You said that you were an optimist, so I have this question. We aim for a zero emission economy in 2050. Do you think we can aim as well for a zero waste economy in the midterm?
Well, that needs to be our ambition. I mean, I think it's fundamental that that we keep this very ambitious target in our minds. But what is most important is that we take today the right steps and the right we put forward the right proposals to advance towards that circularity. Circularity never ends. Circularity, it's let's say it's an exponential process. As we advance, we tackle other new challenges that come in. So I think that that it's really a journey that that never ends, but where we really have to have in mind what is the destination to be reached.
Well, thank you very much, Luis Planas, assistant to the Director General of DG Environment, for telling us about the circular economy, about EU's action, and also what we should expect for translation in DGT. So it's been extremely interesting and extremely useful.
Thank you very much to you. Thank you to all the colleagues.